Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You've heard from Bill and Gary. Now it's time to hear from the players inside the locker room. It's Green and Gold Overtime with Joe Zenzola on The Fan.
That's right. We're on live and local here on The Fan. Good evening. The Packers knock off the Lions tonight 23-22. I'm Radio Joe Zenzola. This is Green and Gold Overtime, and I do feel bad for Dan Plucker. Not only is he having a rough night producing, he is also a Lions fan. So he is kind of feeling what a lot of Packer fans have been feeling for, I don't know, the last 7 years. You know, we're the ones that always get the bad beats. We're the ones that always get screwed when it comes to officiating. And you can go all the way back to the inaccurate reception in Seattle when you had the replacement refs who didn't know what the hell they were doing. We're used to this. We were used to this last season when Clay Matthews has a clean hit on Kirk Cousins. That should have ended the game right there, and it didn't. The game continued on, and you ended up tying that one in week two. Hell, even 2 weeks ago, when you were facing the Eagles, a team that you were very close to beating, the officials couldn't get pass interference right there when it was so blatant and so obvious. Yeah, I get it. Like, if you're a Lions fan tonight, you're upset at the officials because the officials, you could say, cost you the game or didn't give you another chance to try to win that game. Yeah, it was kind of a BS, you know, call there with Trey Flowers. I get all of that. I get all of that. But you know what? At the end of the day, there were a lot of other things that happened in that game, and the Lions gave you a lot of gifts that were clear penalties. I mean, you talk about the Green Bay Packers tonight, and I can't even believe they're 5-1 right now. Because, guys, we know that the Green Bay Packers are not a complete football team. We know they're not, and that starts with the receiving core, and we will get to it. But we saw early on the Lions played very aggressive. You saw that flea flicker on the very first play, challenging Kevin King. I mean, Kevin King had a bad night. He's had his fair share of good games and bad games so far this season. I mean, it's great to see him on the field, but they tested Kevin King early. Two deep balls. And that set up some big plays and big situations for the Detroit Lions. And somehow, some way, at the very worst, the Lions could have been up 21-3. But some other things swung your way if you're the Green Bay Packers. Some ridiculous penalties by the Detroit Lions. Not because of the officials, just because, I mean, you had 12 men on the field for a field goal. And you had one player standing back, literally counting each Detroit Lion on the field, and you still screwed it up. The Lions gave the Packers some gifts tonight, and it gave the Packers some extra lives. They were like a cat. They were. But what was great about this game was, even though this was not a complete football game from the Packers, and a lot of your receivers could not catch a ball to save their lives, it was finally good to see in that second half the offense generating something. And a guy by the name of Alan Lazard actually stepped up, caught passes, made an amazing over-the-shoulder catch from Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers still has it, guys. He does. It's still there. And you can look at the box score tonight for Aaron Rodgers and say, well, he had a pick. Well, that wasn't on him. That was on Darius Shepard not being able to catch a football, just like all these other receivers. But it was good to see Alan Lazard show up tonight, and Aaron Rodgers was even pushing coaches on the sideline to get him in the game. Aaron Rodgers needs someone to throw to. No question about it. I mean, we're going through this, you know, revolving door of all these different receivers, and I can't remember a receiving core that was worse that Aaron Rodgers had to deal with. It's quite obvious they need Devontae Adams. But Geronimo Allison, and hopefully he's okay, he was ruled out with a concussion, chest injury, and there'll be further tests on that, so we'll see, you know, what happens there. But Geronimo Allison has had opportunities to catch the football. And there were opportunities tonight before he was taken out of the game where he could have caught the football and he didn't. Jimmy Graham, the $10 million man. Finally, he made a catch late in that game as the Packers were driving there with about 2 minutes to go. He made a huge catch to move the chains as they were entering Detroit territory. Big, big, big. But there were other plays tonight that Jimmy Graham had a ball thrown to him in the end zone and he couldn't catch it. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, still kind of non-existent. They were trying to get him with end-arounds, jet sweeps. That's nice. But MVS is supposed to be your deep threat. MVS wasn't getting open tonight. Aaron Rodgers could not find him at all. He had that 40-yard catch. That was great later. But still, he's not reliable. Even Jake Kumerow. I mean, Jake Kumerow, you know, we've seen it. We saw it in preseason. We've seen it in training camp. We've seen and hear Aaron Rodgers gloat about how Jake Kumerow gets it. Well, Jake Kumerow had a couple of good moments in tonight's game, but it's not like he was the reliable go-to target. I think a lot of people, including myself, were kind of hoping that maybe this would be the game that Jake Kumerow emerges. Not the case. Darius Shepherd. I mean, you talk about a guy that I mean, he was pulled off the streets at the start of training camp and had to really fight his way to make this roster. He learned a lot tonight about himself. He learned a lot tonight on special teams. He learned a lot tonight trying to catch footballs from Aaron Rodgers. And you talk about inexperience. Darius Shepherd learned a lot about himself tonight. But in the end, after you go through that long laundry list of receivers, Alan Lazard shows up. And he was catching everything, and Aaron Rodgers was asking coaches to get him in. And Lazard got it. Makes me wonder if Alan Lazard is going to be more involved in the offense next week. Might have to be. It's blatant, guys. It is blatant here as the Packers knock off the Lions 23-22. And really, the phone lines are open at 414-799-1250, 414-799-1250. It's Green and Gold Overtime here on The Fan. It is quite obvious that the Green Bay Packers do need a veteran receiver on this team. You are 5-1. You are up there with the 49ers, the New Orleans Saints, who don't have Drew Brees, the Seattle Seahawks with Russell Wilson, who is arguably having an MVP season. You are up there with the top teams, and you are also 3-0 against your division opponents. You could not have asked for a better start. And really, the Packers were so close to beating the Eagles, they could be 6-0 right now. But I'll take 5-1. No question about it, guys. I was not expecting a 5-1 start. But when you look at the first half of your season schedule and you have all these home games, it is kind of important to take advantage early, right? I don't understand, though, why this game couldn't have been in Detroit and then the Packers have Week 17 at Lambeau. That I don't understand, but that's another discussion for another day. Fact of the matter is you're 5-1 and you absolutely need a veteran receiver on this team. Because, yes, as much as Alan Lazard stepped up tonight, and maybe he is more involved when the Packers take on the Raiders on Sunday, again at Lambeau Field, I don't think that's the guy you can rely on week in and week out. We don't know when Devontae Adams will be back. Maybe he will be back on Sunday. But can you fully trust that he's going to be at 100% with that turf toe? It could be easily aggravated again. What I think is the Packers do need to do their due diligence and try and trade for a wide receiver before the trade deadline. They have a couple more weeks to do it. And I've been someone that's, you know, wanted to be patient, sitting there saying to myself, okay, you've got Devontae Adams. Can someone please, for the love of God, show up in this receiving core? Can someone have a breakout year? oh, well, Joe, they don't need a true number two. Well, it's obvious they need someone right now. And I don't want to hinge fully on this tonight about receivers. Because, again, you're 5-1, and we can talk about positives too, but Brian Gutekunst, we've seen him make all these other moves and all these other trades. I think he's got to call a team like the Cincinnati Bengals and say, hey, what do you guys really want for A.J. Green? I mean, it is a contract year for him. We really don't know how many games he's going to play. I mean, come on. Are you guys really willing to part with him or what? He could call John Elway in Denver and say, hey, look, what's it going to take to get Emmanuel Sanders over here? Can't cost much, right? I mean, he's aging. He's not a stud receiver. Hey, John, I'll give you a fifth-round pick. How does that sound? I'm still kind of scratching my head why the Packers traded Trevor Davis away. Because that's a guy that, I think they could have used him tonight. I was pretty blown away when the Packers were playing the Oakland Raiders in the preseason action and Trevor Davis was literally catching everything. I'd never seen that part of Trevor Davis before as a wideout. They could have used him. And especially they could have used him on special teams because Darius Shepherd is still learning. And they cut Tremon Smith, guy that they picked up who was supposed to be the speedster. I don't understand that either. So there's a lot of questions there. There are a lot of questions, but I think most of you would agree with me tonight that the Green Bay Packers do need another receiver. And I don't want to harp on this entire show talking about that, but it's blatant. If you want to stay competitive, because you've got a lot of road games coming up and you've got a lot of tough teams to deal with, but if you want to stay competitive here, you got to add. You need to add to this receiving core. You have to make a trade. And yes, picking up the phone, that's a start. But you might have to be a little bit more aggressive than that if you're Brian Gutekunst. And I feel like that I can trust Brian Gutekunst because look at all these signings he's made. He's doing things that Ted Thompson would never even have the thought to cross his mind. Ever. Ted would not be going out and signing guys like Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith. He would not be doing that. Brian Gutekunst, though, he's a little bit more aggressive. So I want to know from you guys tonight, 414-799-1250, your thoughts on the game, anything really, positives, negatives. Again, officiating sucks. We know this. This is probably some of the worst officiating we've seen across the NFL, maybe in our lifetimes, because everything and the rules, everything is being nitpicked so much, and everything's being overanalyzed so much. But for once, something goes the Packers' way. The Packers have been screwed enough by the officials. There were so many other things that went wrong in this game for Detroit, so Detroit cannot just point to that and say, well, that's not fair. Detroit gave the Packers a lot of gifts. They had a lot of stupid penalties tonight that cost them and opened the door for the Packers to take advantage. And the Packers did. They made them pay. 414-799-1250. Marcus on the north side. Thanks for holding. You're on Green and Gold Overtime. Marcus. No Marcus? That's too bad. 414-799-1250 is the Packers win 23-22. We got a lot to get to tonight, too. We're going to go inside the locker room. We'll hear more from Aaron Rodgers. We had Mike Clemens on in the last segment on the 5 o'clock Steakhouse Green Eagle postgame show, and he talked with Alan Lazard. He talked with Mason Crosby. You're going to hear more of that from them as well. Chris in St. Francis, you're next up. It's Green and Gold Overtime as the Packers win tonight 23-22. What's going on, Chris?
Yeah, super happy with the win. Super good. No complaints, really. I mean, other than the obvious, but back to your point about why don't they go for a receiver at this point? They're so in need for a receiver. Like, they keep getting destroyed on the field. What's his name? Gatton?
Chris, if there's a receiver that you'd want the Packers to target, who would it be?
I think A.J. Green. Maybe Dez Bryant. I don't know.
Well, here's the thing with Dez Bryant, Chris, and thanks for the call. Dez Bryant has not played in 2 years. I mean, the last time he played was in 2017. He played a full season that year. He was healthy. But I don't know. I really don't know why Dez Bryant has not been picked up by any team here since then, since the end of 2017. I just don't understand why Dez Bryant doesn't have a job. I don't know if it's a money thing. I don't know if it's an ego thing. To me, if I'm going after a receiver, I want a guy that's currently on a football team. And in A.J. Green's situation, he still hasn't practiced yet. It still might be a 2, 3, maybe 6 weeks before he plays again. But at least he's with a team where he's rehabbing properly. He's got trainers around him. He's in the workout room every single day. I'd rather take A.J. Green over, say, a Dez Bryant. Now, you could argue that Dez Bryant would be better than what the Packers already have, but I have no idea if Dez Bryant is conditioned enough to go out there and start making plays if the Packers signed him today and had him ready by Sunday against Oakland. I don't think that's really feasible. And I also don't know if Dez Bryant and that ego works in a Packer locker room that has a brand new established culture. I don't think A.J. Green, if they traded for him, would be an issue. I certainly don't think trading for a guy like Emmanuel Sanders would be an issue. That guy does not come off as an egomaniac, but I could be wrong. Maybe someone listening is a Denver Bronco fan, but I don't see that either. 414-799-1250. Kevin, listening in Chicago. Kevin, you're on Green and Gold Overtime. What's up?
Can we just stop? I want, like, White House? Jesus, my God, my man. Like, we're fine. We are fine. For the first time this whole season, I think we're good. We are good.
Why do you think that?
Yeah, they dropped a lot of balls tonight. Me? Like, playing wide receiver? We're good. Like, he's 6'5". He owned Tolman, right? Did he not?
Who, we're talking about Lazard?
Yeah. Did he not? Question, did you watch him at, I went to Kansas. Did you watch him at Iowa State? Did you know his career at Iowa State? He was a stud. Like, he's a baller. He finally found a team that could throw him the ball. He's good. He could be number two.
Okay, all right. So when they're double-teaming Alan Lazard and you don't have Davante Adams, what about the rest of this receiving core?
I believe in them. This is, like, for the first time all, like, last year, I'm like, I don't know. But this year, I'm like, okay, we shouldn't be worried. Like, I'm so sick and tired of hearing the station, like, we should be worried. We're fine. We're 5-1, right? We beat a lot of teams. Our offense is such, we're dynamic. We do every, like, every weekend we're like, we changed. We can throw the ball, we win. We can run the ball, we win. Like, we should be more worried about our defense tonight, like, than our offense. We have a lot of yards in the first quarter. We get too many points to Detroit. To me, is a garbage-like team. They're not good.
Okay, all right. Let me just throw something at you. The defense actually played really well tonight. If you take away the two deep balls that the Lions threw, the total tonight was 299 total yards from the Detroit Lions. So if you take away the 66-yard deep ball to Galladay, and then the other 55-yarder to Hall. That was, 180 total yards outside of those two plays. The defense, Kevin, did just fine tonight, and they finally got to Matt Stafford later in the game.
Yeah, I agree. No, all I'm saying is, like, I think we were like, shell-shocked on offense. Like, we were shocked by what they were doing, to be honest. But we settled down. If you notice, like, they settled down, the offense kind of moved the ball more. Like, I think, yeah, they're young. But the only person I think we should be worried about is Shepard. I think out of all the receivers, he was more nervous than Lazard. You know, like Allison, who I wish should have not gotten a concussion, but it happened.
Yeah, but Geronimo was dropping balls again tonight before the concussion.
No, he had two drops all season. Look it up. You know that?
No, he had a couple of drops in the last game, and then he had a couple more tonight. Jimmy Graham again cannot catch a ball in the end zone. It was good to see him catch a ball late, but when you had a chance to score a touchdown and he can't secure a ball that he was open on, I don't know. Kevin, I appreciate it. Thanks for listening. It's okay to be negative. It's okay. Wide receiver is an issue. It is. I disagree. If you're telling me that Alan Lazard is going to be your most trustworthy guy from here on out, I'm sorry, you're sadly mistaken. And it all hinges on how much longer Davante Adams has to be out. That's just crazy to me. To sit here tonight and say, yeah, I think they're going to be fine. I think Jimmy Graham's going to be okay for them. I think he's going to be a go-to target. And if Geronimo Allison's going to be out for an extended period of time, because if he does legitimately have a concussion, well, he's not going to be playing at all. It's not like he was really helping you. No, I think receiver is an issue tonight. And going over to the Packer defense again, you take away the two deep balls that the Lions had early. This defense contained the Lions and kept Matt Stafford in check. Oh, and by the way, this run defense that's been getting crucified week in and week out, they only gave up 56 rush yards tonight. Kudos to all of you, run defense. Defense, really, that's a huge stat. Huge. 414-799-1250 is the Packers knock off the Lions 23-22. Yes, there are negatives, but the Packers are 5-1. We should be happy about that. We should be really happy. I don't think many of you driving home tonight or listening on the radio.com app, or maybe you're doing the grave night or the graveyard shift at work. I'm not sure many of you really thought the Packers would be 5-1 through 6 weeks. It is impressive. We're going to have more. We'll take more of your calls. Go over to Facebook and Twitter as well at 105.7 FM The Fan over on Facebook, facebook.com/105.7 FM The Fan. You can like us there. It is Green and Gold Overtime Radio Joe with you. More next here on The Fan.
Third down and 5. Rodgers, same side. And this time, it's in the hands of Lazard. Incredible play. 35-yard touchdown.
That highlight courtesy of the four-letter network, ESPN. Welcome back. It is Green and Gold Overtime. The Packers knock off the Lions. Game-winning field goal from Mason Crosby, 23-22. I'm Radio Joe Zenzola with you. As we'll hear more from Alan Lazard coming up. Yeah, it's about time someone shows up on that receiving core. And Aaron Rodgers was pleading to the coaching staff during the game to get Lazard in there, and it worked. And Aaron Rodgers threw a beautiful over-the-shoulder throw, 35-yard score right there to Lazard in tight coverage. That was really cool to see. But can Alan Lazard be a receiver that's trusted week in and week out? Look, guys, it's not any different than if the Brewers have a need or the Bucs have a need. And, you know, we do all these topics on The Fan when it comes to the trade deadline and what they need. And everyone clamors for something, right? If you see your team in contention and you know your team is not complete, you want your team to make a trade and be buyers. And the NFL has changed over the last several years to where now general managers are willing to be more aggressive, and they're not going to want to hang on to their draft picks. If they're in a situation where they feel like they can win and get to the Super Bowl and get on a run, they're going to make trades. We've seen that the trade deadline has been far more active. We've seen trades more often than not in the offseason. We've seen more trades during the NFL draft. The NFL has finally come around to making trades, and I love making trades. When there's a deal to be had, you do it. And I can't sit here tonight, despite the fact that the Packers pulled off this win, and they easily could have lost, guys. Let's not act like This was a blowout win from the Packers. The Lions gave the Packers some opportunities, including some penalties that were against them and were boneheaded decisions, and the Packers took advantage there. But to sit here at 5-1 and say that this is a complete team and they've got everything going right and this is a Super Bowl team, I'm not ready to go there just yet. You got a tough schedule ahead. You got a lot of games on the road. And you need to have a receiving corps that Aaron Rodgers can trust. Because I think a lot of this tonight was not on Aaron. I don't think it was. Yeah, he had a couple of bad throws. Yeah, that holding call on Geronimo Allison where they had first and goal, that hurt him. That put him back to the 20. And then you had back-to-back plays where Aaron Rodgers made kind of an ugly throw in the flat to Aaron Jones. I think Rodgers might have lost his footing there. I mean, John Kuhn on the broadcast was talking about how, you know, players are slipping and sliding everywhere. You know, that field was not fully dry. So guys were slipping. So maybe Rodgers had a hard time there trying to set his feet and make a good throw. But then he also overthrew Geronimo in the corner of the end zone by a mile. So it wasn't all on the receivers, but I think if I'm pointing the finger at where's the flaw, I think it's the targets. And I think Aaron Rodgers wants to find guys that he can trust. And I just can't sit here and say that Alan Lazard should be now the go-to guy. Should he be involved more next week against Oakland? Yes, absolutely. I think he's earned that. But to sit here and say that, yeah, he's going to save the day and it's going to make this receiving corps so much better. Nah, I need a veteran in here. I need a guy that's proven it. And I'm okay making a move for A.J. Green. I'm okay making a move for Emmanuel Sanders. Too Big to Bunt tweets at 105.7 FM The Fan. He suggests Keenan Allen from the Chargers. Imagine that. Ooh. Devontae and Keenan Allen. I was looking at Keenan Allen's contract situation with the Chargers. He does have another year, $10.6 million cap hit that would be involved. But I think if you're giving up, if you're going to get Keenan Allen, for example, if the Chargers were even willing to do that, you're probably going to have to give up a first or second round pick for Keenan Allen because he's that good. The other knock, though, on Keenan Allen is he has had some knee issues in the past. You got to keep that in mind. But if you're getting a guy like Keenan Allen, the Chargers are going to want a significant amount back for him. But you would get him this year and next year as well. Kevin in Brookfield, you're next up on Green and Gold Overtime. Packers win 23-22. What's going on, Kevin? Kevin? That's too bad. Let's go to Tony in Greendale. Tony, you're next up on The Fan.
I think you need to chill out a little bit, Radio Joe. I feel young. I can, man, we're young. Those receivers are young. If let's put it this way. Number one, Detroit's no old-time Detroit that a lot of us are used to. They're not a joke. They're a darn good football team.
Absolutely.
On both sides of the ball, okay? And they were going to be, if we were everybody out there, including Devontae Adams, it still would have been a dogfight. Man, there's no quitting that team anymore. They have a whole different attitude. Now, getting to the Packers, the only receiver out there that I'm scratching my head why he's still on the team is Jimmy Graham. Or tight end. He made a catch today, but I don't know. I just think he's useless. I really do. I just watch him out there, and it bothers me. But we're so green. You know, we're just green. There, a lot of those guys are young. I love Allison. I love Marquez. I love Stan, Lazard. And like I say, if 17's out there, we Devontae Adams. I don't think you're talking about this. And the thing is who are we going to give up? Who do you want to trade? Or what do you want to give up? A first and second or a first next year? I like who we have. And, man, we're 5-1. Stay with it. Our defense, yeah, has been keeping us in some games. But, they got burnt early in the game, and we were down 13-0. You know what I mean? And they held the line, and the offense came back. Even with our injuries, even with our receivers going out, I think you're just jumping the gun here, and nothing's a guarantee. And I would never want to give somebody up at this stage of the game for try to get some hot receiver and and give up somebody, you know, could we have, teams are going to want something. They're going to want draft picks. They're going to want players. They're going to want something. And I like who we have. And I just like the direction of this team. I like what we're doing. I like our running game. And I think it's going to all come together. It's starting to come together. You know, tonight we had some bad luck with injuries, you know.
But, Tony, there were – didn't you get frustrated with all the drops from everyone?
Oh, exactly, yeah, especially Allison and stuff. Yeah, but that's why I'm saying they're young. They're just young. It's concentration. A lot of – I've seen Allison, like last week he dropped the ball. Well, he was turning around and running before he really had the ball. He takes his eyes off the ball, and then he turns around and starts running. He's got his hands behind him trying to catch the ball, so he's got a jump on the defender. But he's good, though. I mean, these guys are green. There's so much talent that we got to give them more time, and I think we all need, you know, we got the win. We should have never won that game. I mean, I'm scratching my head how that, I can't even believe we still won, but we did. So take it and run it and run with it and go to Oakland next week, you know, and you know, try not to make all these mistakes, you know, try not to make these drops. That's what they, to me, the main thing they got to really work on is not making these drops.
All right.
You know,
Tony, I hear you. I hear you. Thanks for the call. The thing is, you know, I'm someone that when I look at a team, when I look at the Brewers, or I look at the Bucks, or look at the Badgers, or the Packers, and I say to myself, like, what's the situation? Where are they as a team? Is this a team that is currently rebuilding and is trying to make baby steps and trying to get better and more mature? You know, I look at that with every single team. And if I see a team that I know it's going to take some time before they figure this out, then yes, you want to give all the time in the world and you want to be able to let these guys build the right way. You want to make sure that these younger receivers that, yeah, it's not going to happen overnight. They got to get better. They got to learn from their mistakes. That's all part of it. But when we're talking about now, more than ever, a Packer team that's 5-1, that's 3-0 in the NFC North, and doesn't have to face any of these NFC North teams again until week 15, 16, and 17. The expectations are going to change, guys. They just are. Your team is 5-1, and you're up there with the best of the best in the NFC, and we're talking about an NFC that has so much parity right now. So you have to ask yourself, when it comes to where the weaknesses are on this Packers roster, are you willing to give it more time to these younger receivers? Or can you sit there and say, you know what? If Brian Gutekunst makes a couple more moves and brings in a couple more veterans to bolster our weaknesses, then we can get back to the Super Bowl this year. I think a lot of us did not have the Super Bowl expectation at the beginning of the year because it was a new system, because it was a new head coach. But your team is 5-1 now. And at some point, you got to say to yourself, I'm not sure I can try to be any more patient with the younger guys that I have. Hell, even the veterans like Jimmy Graham. For what you're paying a guy like Jimmy Graham, any ball that gets thrown his way from Aaron Rodgers, whether it's a ball he has to go and get or a ball that's being thrown directly at him, he's got to catch it. They need that. I give credit to Mercedes Lewis. He actually made some big plays tonight. And that guy's not expected to make plays like that. That's stuff Jimmy Graham is supposed to do. But if we're talking about a 5-1 Packer team, you got to say to yourself, well, are you really good with the receiving core? Is this the receiving core that you want that can help you get to a Super Bowl and help Aaron Rodgers out when it comes to making plays when you need him the most? All those drops tonight infuriated me. They did. I can't tell you how many times I was yelling at the TV. It was frustrating. But hey, they're 5-1. Maybe I should just get off the receiving topic because it seems like I've frustrated a couple of people. You know what? It's actually good to know that there are some people that have faith in this group, but I'm not. If the Packers keep winning, if they go to Oakland or if they face Oakland at Lambeau on Sunday and knock them off, now all of a sudden you're 6-1 and you're taking on a Chiefs team with Patrick Mahomes, who isn't himself, and I think it has something to do with his ankle. I mean, the Packers are just, if they can keep pushing this, you have to look long and hard at the trade deadline and say, yeah, Brian Gutekunst, do what it takes. Add a couple more pieces, and let's try to get back to the Super Bowl here while you can with Aaron Rodgers. 414-799-1250, 414-799-1250. We will continue on with Green and Gold Overtime. We will hear from guys like Alan Lazard, Mason Crosby. And for those of you on hold, stay right there, taking your calls. And we'll just see where this thing goes as the Packers win 23-22. Radio Joe with you. We'll have more next here on The Fan.
And with that thinned out receiving core as well, Williams catches an opening, and there he goes, Jamal Williams. Down to the 10-yard line. Packers are knocking on the door. Looks like they're going to bust right through it, 45 yards.
Watch number 63, the center, Corey Lindsey. You got the Lions defense and nickel, as we've been talking about. Get the big personnel off the field. We talked about it. Get the tight ends off the field. Get an 11 personnel and run the football against the Lions defense.
There you go. That highlight courtesy of ESPN. It's Green and Gold Overtime here on The Fan as the Packers knock off the Lions 23-22. I'm Radio Joe Zanzola, keeping you guys company, taking your calls 414-799-1250. For those of you on hold, stay right there. That's one guy we have not talked about, and that's Jamal Williams. What a game for him tonight. And you knew the game plan going in, if you were the Detroit Lions, was, hey, we got to sit back last week on our bye and watch Aaron Jones dismantle the Dallas Cowboys. So, yeah, our game plan is going to be centered around him. And believe it or not, we do want Aaron Rodgers to throw the football a little bit more to a receiving group that, again, at least to me, cannot be trusted. Well, they did a pretty good job tonight containing Aaron Jones, but it was Jamal Williams coming off his concussion that he had who stepped up in a big way, 14 carries, 104 yards. That was really good to see from Jamal Williams pounding the ball north to south and making a huge impact when Aaron Jones wasn't able to do it. And Jamal Williams also had that 7-yard touchdown as well. That is so good to see. And again, imagine if going into this game, you did not have Jamal Williams. Imagine if Jamal Williams had to miss another week to where now it's Aaron Jones and, you know, Trey Carson. This might have been even harder for the Packers to win this football game tonight because, again, Jamal Williams made some huge impacts on the ground, helping move the chains. I don't think if you have him tonight, this would have been much harder if you're the Packers. I really do. But that was some very good stuff tonight from Jamal Williams. Aaron Jones, 11 carries, 47 yards on the ground. Not a whole lot there as the Lions kept him in check. Aaron Rodgers, 24 of 39 for 283 yards, two touchdowns, including that big one to Alan Lazard. He also had an interception, but again, that was more on Darius Shepard than it was Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers made the throw. The ball just bounced off his face mask, and it was picked off near the goal line, which was just really unfortunate. And again, you had a 55-yard return on that interception, and the Packer defense, again, holding the Lions to field goals all night. They held them to a field goal there. Matt Prater still has that leg, but Packers defense, also the unsung heroes tonight, containing the Lions on the ground, and outside of giving up two deep passing balls in the first half, otherwise kept Matt Stafford in check as well. Alan Lazard, 4 catches, 65 yards, and a touchdown tonight. Mercedes Lewis, second in Packer receivers, 2 catches for 50 yards. MVS had 2 catches for 48. Geronimo Allison, who left the game with a concussion and a chest injury, he had 3 catches on 40 yards. Taking your calls, positives, negatives, whatever you want to talk about. My big thing tonight, yes, they won, but that receiving core has to be examined. I cannot sit here tonight and say, yeah, they're going to bounce back. Everything's going to be okay. If you're this serious, and when you're towards the top of the NFC with all these other teams, you got to start changing your expectations just a little bit. And if there is a pressing need at a position, you might want to go out and make a move. I think it's just as simple as that. Let's go to Brett listening in New York City. Brett, you're next up on Green and Gold Overtime.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What's up?
I just want to say, well, first of all, 5-1, it's the wins and losses that matters. And, I mean, at this point, I'm going out on a limb here, but they're a defensive team now, and Rodgers is secondary. But I agree with you. They need to do something at the receiver position, but I don't think it's 100% needed to be done. I think they can win, kind of eking these wins out a bit.
So you think they don't need a receiver and they're going to be fine?
Well, I think they can win games. I'm not saying they don't need a receiver. I think it would be great, but I don't think it's necessary.
Do you think this team right now, with what they have, Brett, can win a Super Bowl? They're 5-1.
Yeah, probably not, but any given Sunday. So
for sure, yeah, sure. Yeah, absolutely, Brett. Okay, fair enough. Thanks for the call. He's right. We've seen this time and time again in the NFL. If you are a hot team late in the season, all you got to do is get on a little run. Hey, the Green Bay Packers did it in 2010. Their record was not where it was supposed to be, but they got on a little run and they won. But again, if we're talking about expectations here and an aging quarterback in Aaron Rodgers, who clearly does not have trusted guys, Alan Lazard seems to be trusted, but can we trust him week in and week out? This all hinges on Devontae as well. And I don't know if this turf toe thing is going to be a lingering issue. I think the Packers are handling it just fine, keeping him out right now, because this is something that you want to make sure is as close to 100% as possible so you don't aggravate it. I think that's perfectly fine. But man, a veteran receiver, a guy who's been there, a guy who's clearly better than what you have right now, I'll take it. I don't think a guy like Emmanuel Sanders is going to cost you a whole lot of money or a whole lot of draft collateral. I don't think it does. I think Emmanuel Sanders will cost you a fifth-round pick, maybe a fourth. I think Brian Gutekunst is good for it. Again, if you're sitting here tonight and you're saying to yourself, they're 5-1, can this group on paper on both sides of the ball, is this good enough to say that they can go and win the NFC North, that they can go and be maybe, you know, the number one or number two team in the NFC, get a first round bye, and be able to get all the way back to Miami for a Super Bowl? You have to start asking yourself that based on what this record is. And I don't think they are a complete team. Just not there. Kevin in Brookfield, we'll try you again. What's going on? Kevin.
Hello. I'm here.
Hey, what's up?
Hey.
Go ahead.
I'm on there.
You are on. I give him a second chance, and he says a very bad word. So, you know, the one thing on the Fan that we don't have is an overnight show. This is the kind of stuff you would get on an overnight show. Dan Plucker's producing, doing a fine job. This is what you get, and I shouldn't give callers a second chance. I gave Kevin a second chance, and that just didn't work.
Yeah, not a good plan, Joe.
No. But you're the call screener. You're supposed to screen.
Hey, I was screening just fine.
You're trying to set me up. You're a Lions fan over there. You're trying to set me up. All right, we'll try Nick in downtown. Nick, keep it clean. You're on Green and Gold Overtime.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
And sorry, Kevin. But I just wanted to touch on how you mentioned Jamal Williams. That's awesome. I don't think any of us were expecting that tonight.
No.
That was great. Over 100-plus yards. But I do think in terms of our receivers, MVS even was out for a little bit. Geronimo Allison went out with that concussion. So at a point there, we were with either 3, 4, 5, and 6 receivers, or 4-5-6 or 4-5-6-7 receivers, like in terms of number in our depth chart. And I think Lazard coming up like that, before this he had one catch for 7 yards in his NFL career, coming in crunch time like that, I was shocked. I think we saw oftentimes what I see in Tom Brady with all these guys that come in real young, just keeps next guy up every single time, keeps it playing. And it was a great thing to see tonight. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Yep, you got it, Nick. Take care, and thanks for listening. Yeah, it is a great story with Alan Lazard. Again, 4 catches tonight, 65 yards, 1 touchdown, the big touchdown from Aaron Rodgers. Just a perfect ball. And, you know, I know maybe there's some Packer fans out there that feel like Aaron Rodgers is regressing because he's getting older. No, I don't think so. Aaron Rodgers still has it. He does. That throw tonight was right on the money. And finally, we started to see some well-orchestrated offenses there in the final couple of series from the Packers, where guys were catching balls, Aaron Rodgers throwing darts, hitting his guys. And that included Alan Lazard, someone that he could trust. I don't think Aaron Rodgers really had a bad game tonight at all. I mean, I just watching him, there was a couple of moments, but beyond that, I mean, he put the balls there. There were just way too many drops from these receivers. And again, if Davante Adams is out next Sunday, if Geronimo Allison is out, you're going to be looking at a receiving core that's going to include MVS, Alan Lazard, Jimmy Graham, Jake Kumerow, and Darius Shepard. That doesn't give me a lot of encouragement. All right, well, let's go inside the locker room. Let's hear from the hero. Let's hear from the guy that Aaron Rodgers did trust, and that was Alan Lazard. Again, 4 catches, 65 yards, and that TD. He was in the locker room after the game talking about it. Yeah, there you go. That's Alan Lazard after the game. What a cool moment for a guy that's just trying to make a living in this league. I mean, I remember being up at training camp back in August and seeing this guy in person, and I remember the first thought that came to my mind when I saw him catching passes out there. I'm like, man, that guy is tall. I mean, he is 6'5". This guy's got some height to him. But again, when you're looking at a depth chart that's just loaded with receivers, and that was really a group going into training camp that there were going to be a few guys that had quite a bit of talent, but were going to be left off the roster just by default because they had so many other guys in front of them. But things worked out, and Alan Lazard originally didn't make the 53-man roster. And then he was able to get back on a few days later, and he's gotten his opportunity, and he's taken advantage of it. And that's what you got to do when you're these young guys. I mean, Darius Shepard, again, we talked about it. He had to learn some things tonight about himself. He's got to make that catch when the Packers are driving and you're inside the 5-yard line. You're waiting to catch that pass from Aaron Rodgers, and he throws a bullet right to you, and you fall on your back. And that ball bounces off your face mask and leads to an interception. Or trying to take a punt and trying to get a little too aggressive with it when really you should just try to make the fair catch. Speaking of which, tonight, when it came to turnovers, the defense, as well as the Packer defense, played holding the Lions to all these field goals. They weren't able to force any turnovers. The Packers, on the other hand, offensively had 3 turnovers. One of which was on special teams there with Shepard. But then you had the other 2 ones, the fumble from Aaron Jones, who was very frustrated about that afterwards. And then, of course, that interception there with Shepard. So 2 of the turnovers were on Shepard himself, which sucks. But considering you had 3 turnovers in that game and your defense wasn't able to turn over the ball, you talk about ample opportunity for the Detroit Lions to do something with that. Man. Yeah, I'm not sure what's going through Lions fans' minds. I mean, Dan Plucker's producing tonight. He's a Lion fan. And I'll ask you, how are you taking this? I know you're upset with, you know, the officiating, and I don't blame you, because me as a Packers fan, I have been there, and Packer fans listening have been there, but how are you taking it?
I mean, the thing is, you can go to any NFL team and they can point out games that they have lost because of the NFL officiating. I mean, any good team, even the greatest teams of generations, can point and choose games that they've lost because of that. So I think that that's more of an excuse. But at the same time, it just seems to happen so often to the Lions. Because you can go all the way back to Megatron dropping the football. You can
against the Bears.
Against
right,
the Bears.
Right.
They lost a Thanksgiving game because Arian Foster's knee was on the ground. He stood up, ran all the way back for a touchdown. And the Lions coach at the time threw the challenge flag. And back in those days, if you threw a challenge flag on a touchdown, you could no longer review the play.
Right.
And even going back to the Packers, Aaron Rodgers' Hail Mary at the end of the game that beat them in Ford Field. That was on a what Lions fans like to call a phantom face mask call. Decide what you may with that. But it just seems to happen a lot to the Lions. And because of their history of losing, it just hurts even more. And so when we finally have a team that looks like it's going to put together a decent season, and you're beating some good teams like the Chargers, who apparently are no longer a good team, and competing with teams like the Chiefs and the Packers, and you're still not coming up, or you still are coming up short in those situations. It's very.
Detroit has not had a Super Bowl in their history, and I know that stinks too, but you do have a good football team.
We have a good football team.
You do.
And that's the exciting part of it, because I know the season didn't end today. It's not like because they lost, the season's over. I think this NFC North is still definitely up for grabs, and
yes,
the Lions still definitely have a shot at winning it.
No question about it. He's Dan Plucker. I'm Radio Joe Zanzola. It's Green and Gold Overtime. We're going to go a little bit longer. I was anticipating going until just 1 a.m., but we're going to go a little bit longer, a little bit towards 1:30. Phone lines are still open at 414-799-1250. Talk about whatever you want, guys. We don't have to harp on this receiving corps thing, and I'll tell you right now, we're going to be talking about this all day. Well, actually, all day today, 5 hours from now, Chuck and Winkler will be on the airwaves from 6 to 10. They're going to have all their takes on it, not just about the receiving core, but they will talk positives as well. Bill Michaels has you covered from 10 to 2 as well. The Big Show with Gary Ellerson, Leroy Butler, as well as Sparky and Baby Tausch. They're going to be breaking this thing down. I mean, we have this covered for you all day, all local, as well as on Wednesday, as well as on Thursday, as well as on Friday, getting you ready for Packers and Raiders. This is where you want to be here on The Fan for the best Green and Gold coverage. It's right here. Let's do what they like to do in the when it comes to play-by-play. Let's pause 10 seconds for station identification. I got to do that because that's what the FCC tells me to do, so here it is. Green and Gold Overtime here on The Fan Radio. Joe with you, Dan Plucker producing again, taking your calls at 414-799-1250. 414-799-1250 as the Packers knock off the Lions 23-22 in a very, very close game. And it was rather a messy game from a lot of different standpoints. But still, the Packers move to 5-1 on the year. And another hero in this game that really stepped up, especially when the Lions were doing a good job of containing Aaron Jones, Jamal Williams, 14 carries, 104 yards. He also had 4 catches for 32 yards and a touchdown. I always love to hear what Jamal Williams has to say after the game. This guy, we talk about swagger. You know, like there's certain players on the Packers that just have this swagger and this little bit of craziness to him, but this real fun attitude. Like Jair Alexander has that on the defensive side. I think Jamal Williams is that guy on the offensive side. When I was in the locker room a couple weeks ago, he compared himself to SpongeBob. Let's see who he compares himself to, if anyone. But Jamal Williams talking after the game, a huge game for him on the ground. There he is. That's Jamal Williams after the game, who played a crucial part in this offense and really stepped up when Aaron Jones wasn't being able to have his way. I mean, again, you gotta give a lot of credit to this Detroit Lions defense. We knew it was going to be tough going in. We knew their front was going to be pesky. And we knew their secondary was going to play really tough as well. And there were so many points in that game where Aaron Rodgers had time to throw, but couldn't find open receivers. And a lot of that was because of that Detroit secondary keeping those guys in check. But really good to see Jamal Williams show up tonight. And again, different style of running back. He's a different cat from what you got in Aaron Jones, but that's good. That's really good. And two impressive finds in the draft, to say the least, and it's gone a long way, and it's really helped this Packers offense stay afloat, survive, not put all the pressure on Aaron Rodgers. It also helps, too, when it comes to not putting all the pressure on Aaron Rodgers, to have a good defense. And the defense tonight, as we talked about, shutting down the Lions' run defense. I wasn't really sure going in how Kerryon Johnson would factor into this. I know, you know, I've heard Lions fans say that, you know, Kerryon Johnson should get the ball more because he's got a lot of talent. But, I mean, really tonight, 13 carries, 34 yards, and a touchdown for Kerryon Johnson, a debatable touchdown, again, from the officiating. But this Packers run defense that has not looked good, they finally did something tonight. They took a huge step forward. And what the other thing I really love, too, about the defense and something that Mike Pettine continues to scheme really well is those third down situations where, you know, it's third and five, third and eight, third and long. Doesn't really matter, but he loves playing press man. He loves putting six, seven guys right on the line of scrimmage. And there was one situation tonight on a crucial third down where he sends all seven guys and has the other three guys plus a safety stand right on those receivers. And you saw Za'Darius Smith get home on it. Or was it Preston Smith? One of the Smiths got there. No, it was Preston Smith. Preston Smith, he got home almost untouched because when you're putting that kind of pressure, you're Matt Stafford, you got to get rid of the football in like 2 seconds. The second you get rid of that ball, you see that wave of green and gold coming at you, or wave of white. You got to get rid of it, and he wasn't able to do it, and he got swallowed up. Which leads me to the next two guys that I want to hear from, Preston and Za'Darius Smith. They smoke after the game. It's always a treat, and I love hearing from these guys. And they'll talk to you together, whether the Packers win or the Packers lose. They own up to it. These guys have cemented themselves as the leaders of that defense. And I would also say partially to that locker room as well, another reason to take pressure off of Aaron Rodgers from a leadership standpoint. Za'Darius Smith, Preston Smith, they talked after the game. This is what they had to say. There you go. That's Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith after the game doing their joint press conference. They do it every time, whether the Packers win or lose. They do it during the week at Packer practice. Those guys are as real and genuine as they really are. I mean, this is not an act. These guys, it was interesting when I was down in Dallas last week, being right in front of them, they were talking about, you know, the fact that these guys, they knew each other pretty well even before they signed in Green Bay, because Preston, he played in Washington and Za'Darius was in Baltimore right next door to each other. But they were always texting, always keeping in touch. And I'd like to think that might have had something to do with Brian Gutekunst deciding to pick both of them and bringing them on the Packers, because he might have been familiar. These two guys had a relationship before coming here. That's pretty big. And when you had a defense last year that seemed to be lacking leadership, seemed to be lacking a guy or two that you could point to as guys to look up to and to learn from and to be inspired, Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith are just that. And they're not just like that in front of the microphone. Any reporter that comes up to them just to talk with them off the record, they've got big smiles on their face and they're cool with you. Doesn't matter. Bill Michaels had an encounter with that when he was up at Lodge Kohler on Friday. Saw Za'Darius Smith and just realized how nice and how genuine of a dude he really is. And that's the kind of leadership you need in that locker room, because the Packers just don't have that. And we're always talking about Aaron Rodgers and whether or not he has this obligation to be the leader of the team. Well, he's got some other guys now that he can point to and say, hey, talk to them, pick their brain a little bit, especially you guys on defense. Learn something. That is really significant. I also found it pretty cool while listening to those two guys talk. Matt LaFleur, they had him giving the speech in the Packer locker room after the game, and he gave the game ball to Mason Crosby, who has also gone through a lot of adversity himself with his wife and you know, this brain tumor that she had. You know, I mean, it was a crazy story, and, you know, ESPN did a good job covering it earlier, talking about it as well. But a really cool moment in the locker room for Mason Crosby. We'll hear a little bit from him before we get out of here. 414-799-1250, taking your thoughts as the Packers win 23-22. Bobby in St. Francis has been holding. Bobby, Thanks for staying up late. You're on Green and Gold Overtime.
Yeah, thank you, sir. Yeah. I know we talked about the receivers earlier, but I think the more important thing to me, at least watching game after game, is the special teams. It's been super questionable and scary. Like, and it hasn't really affected like the games as much, but I think it's going to in the long run. Like, they gave up at least 3 to 6 to 7 points today because of errors or, you know, what do we want to call them, fumbles. I just think that down the road, it's going to matter. Like, right now it doesn't for whatever reason, but down the road, that's a huge deal. And they need to shore that up. Yeah, we complain about the receivers, which is a big deal too, but special teams is horrible right now, like horrible. Like, they're fumbling. They're grabbing the ball at the 2 yard line and running to the 10. It's ridiculous. Yeah.
Well, it doesn't help. And thanks for the call, Bobby, because you bring up a really good point. I mean, it doesn't help when you have some inexperience back there, like a Darius Shepherd, that's, you know, returning these things. I mean, he's got a bunch to learn. And again, I'm not really sure why the Packers decided to cut Tremaine Smith today. I know they're really high on this other tight end, Evan Bayless, who they keep moving on and off the practice squad. And, you know, he's able to clear waivers and they're able to bring him back. But you traded away Trevor Davis and your insurance policies were Darius Shepherd and Tremaine Smith. And that's not really worked out. I still think trading away Trevor Davis might be the biggest mistake that Brian Gutekunst has made up to this point. And Trevor Davis would not have been just a guy to look at for special teams in this game tonight. He would have been a guy to really depend on in the receiving corps because they needed someone to show up. Thankfully, Alan Lazard was that guy, but Trevor Davis might have actually been an option. He looked good in that Oakland preseason game, and I know it's preseason, but that guy was catching everything. It's a little surprising, and maybe there was something more behind the scenes that we don't know about as to why Trevor Davis got traded, but it is ironic that he ends up to the team that showed him up in the preseason. That was the Oakland Raiders, and that's who they're dealing with coming up on Sunday at Lambeau Field. John Gruden and company coming to Lambeau. That should be a lot of fun. And another chance here for the Packers to move to 6-1. And we saw what the Raiders did to the Chicago Bears. They played really tough, and I wasn't expecting the Raiders to win that game. And I think the Raiders are going to give the Packers some fits. But there are a lot of things to take away, positive and negative, with your Green and Gold. We'll take one more break here. A couple more minutes, we'll hear from Mason Crosby, get his thoughts on an emotional game-winning field goal for him and being able to do the Lambeau Leap. I don't think he's ever done the Lambeau Leap. We'll talk about that. It's Green and Gold Overtime. I'm Radio Joe Zanzola, keeping you company as the Packers knock off the Lions, move to 5-1. They win tonight, 23-22.
You know, everything that Mason, his wife Molly, have been through courageously, going through surgery to remove a cancerous tumor in her lung this summer, and now to play hero again. And there it is. Walk it off and win it for Mason Crosby.
That highlight courtesy of ESPN. Welcome back. The Packers win 23-22. Radio Joe Zanzola with you on another installment of Green and Gold Overtime here on The Fan. Cool moment for Mason Crosby, and he came big tonight. Came up big, 3 for 3, as long as a 48-yard field goal. Came through when they needed it. He talked about it after the game. A really cool moment, and he got the game ball, too, from Matt LaFleur. There you go. That's Mason Crosby after the game, the hero with the game-winning field goal. As time runs out, Packers win 23-22. And believe me, 4.5 hours from now, Chuck and Winkler will have more here on The Fan. As we are live and local, 6A to 6P. Bill Michaels at 10 o'clock, The Big Show at 2 o'clock. They've got you covered. They're going to be breaking this thing down, looking at it from so many different angles, and it's going to carry into Wednesday and Thursday and Friday as we get you ready for Packers and Raiders at Lambeau Field. And then a lot of road games ahead for the Pack as they look ahead. A very tough schedule on the road. But who knows? The Chiefs, the Chargers, what will they be when the Packers come to town? I can't wait for that. Oh, and by the way, they're going to have a clash with the 49ers coming up. Carolina Panthers are on this schedule. who come to Lambeau Field, who've been playing well with Kyle Allen under center. And then you got NFC North teams to deal with in the final 3 weeks of the year with the Bears at home, and then, of course, the Vikings and the Lions again. But now you're 3-0 in the division, and the Packers are right there at the top of the NFC with the likes of San Francisco, New Orleans, who doesn't have Drew Brees, Russell Wilson's having a hell of a year for Seattle. There's a lot of positive stuff to talk about right now, guys. But if the Packers are serious here, if this is more about just getting into the playoffs and actually having Super Bowl aspirations, something has to be done with that receiving core, because I just don't know if that group, if that's enough to help the Packers get there. They're going to have to rely on the passing game. You don't want to become one-dimensional. So we'll figure all that out. But Chuck and Winkler will get it going again at 6 o'clock. Leroy Butler will be on the show at 7 a.m. Hopefully you guys are right there. Be sure to tune in. And you can always follow us at 105.7 FM The Fan on Twitter, Facebook.com/105.7FM The Fan, and on the Radio.com app. You can hit us up there, download us, listen to us wherever you go. My thanks to Dan Plucker on the other side, and also to our crew up at Lambeau Field, including Mike Clemens. I'm Radio Joe Zenzola. This has been Green and Gold Overtime. Again, the Packers win 23-22. We'll talk to you again here on The Fan in 4.5 hours. More of Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio coming up next here on The Fan. Have a good night.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.